Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed and my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. Overcoming is God's will. The scripture says He always causes us to triumph in Christ. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So don't entertain the idea that failure and defeat might be part of God's mysterious plan for you. No, no, no. He's a victory-only God.
Amen.
Huh? He is. And He is well able to see to it. Defeat and failure are involved when you don't listen to the Lord. You don't do what He says, or you don't do things His way. And that can be just out of lack of knowledge, just not knowing, not understanding, which is why we have faith schools, why we want to come together and seek Him and seek answers from His Word so that we are not ignorant of the devil's device and we are not fooled and tricked and misled. Say it out loud, Father God,
Father God,
enlighten the eyes of my heart and understanding. Fill me with the knowledge of Your will in all spiritual wisdom. Strengthen me with might by Your Spirit in my inner man. Make me strong
for Yourself.
Get glory to Yourself in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank You, Lord. Yes, that's a prayer He can answer. Those are things He told us to pray. We have been on a series now for weeks that we're calling Faith for Provision, and we're continuing with this. In the world we live in, the Bible said there are many voices, and all of them are saying something. But there's only one voice of God. Now, He uses a lot of different people, but it's the same one voice. In the Bible, for instance, different human instruments that penned these books and letters, but it's the same voice. It's the same Spirit. Through every one, there's that unchanging same voice. And that's what the Lord said about Him being our good shepherd. He said, "My sheep know my voice." Hallelujah. And a stranger's voice they won't follow. You want to let that be your confession. Don't disagree with God. Agree with Him. Don't say, "I can't seem to hear anything from God. I don't know what's wrong. I can't seem to hear." Well, I know what's wrong without knowing you, because I've made some of the same mistake you're making right now. This is something you should not say, ever. You're walking by feeling. You're walking by sight. The Lord did not say, "Sometimes my people can't hear from me." What did He say? "My sheep know my voice." Hallelujah. So what should you say?
"I know His voice.
I am His sheep. I know His voice. I hear His voice. I know His voice. A stranger's voice, I don't follow." Now, you want to say that entirely by faith. Sometimes your head might say, "Well, we don't think we're getting anything up here." You say, "Hush. I am His sheep. I know His voice. He's ordering my steps. He's directing my paths. He leads me. Hallelujah. He guides me. He keeps me." Said another time, "I am His sheep.
I am His sheep.
I hear His voice.
I hear His voice.
I know His voice.
I know His voice.
He is leading me.
He is leading me.
I'll go the right way.
I'll go the right way.
I'll know what to do.
I'll know what to do.
I'll do the right thing.
I'll do the right thing.
With His help.
With His help.
In Jesus' name."
In Jesus' name.
Saying words like that from your heart just opens up your life to the Holy Spirit. It's just like opening your mind and your heart and saying, "Come in, Holy Spirit. illuminate me, enlighten me. But when you get all frustrated and mad and upset and bitter and depressed and go, I don't know, I've been trying to pray for all this time and I don't know if God cares or whatever. Hey, attitude problem.
That's right.
Is that right? Bad attitude problem. You are the one with the problem, not God. He's not letting you down. You're full of doubt. You're full of fear, full of confusion, and you're not walking by faith. You're only talking what you feel, how you feel and how things look. The just shall not live by how things look. The just shall live by
faith.
Not how you feel, but by faith. Come on, say that loud. I walk by faith.
I walk by faith.
Not by sight.
Not by sight.
I live by faith.
I live by faith.
Well, what is faith? Faith is what you believe, not what you see. It's what you believe what God said, not what you're feeling or what you're experiencing or what your past has been like. I didn't say it was always easy, but you got to be strong and it's got to be a choice.
Yes.
Right? And you got to resist, because any of us, any day of the week, can be weak and fleshy and go, well, I just don't feel like it. And I, you know, nobody will help me. You can be pitiful any day of the week and go down. That's how you go down. And if you keep doing it and won't snap out of it, you just keep going down until you get hopeless.
Yes.
You can get completely hopeless. You can get suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not because God is putting it on you.
That's right.
It's not because God is ignoring you and won't help you. It's because you're yielding to the flesh. You're yielding to sight and feelings. No, we live by faith.
Yes.
It's a choice.
Yes.
I choose to trust God. I choose to believe what He said. I choose to declare His word over my life. I don't care if you got bills piled up from the table to the overhead light. Look at them and go, I call every bill paid. I call every need met. My God shall supply all money. Right? You declare. You're not feeling it. You're not looking like it. You're believing it. And that's the kind of people that have miracles. Next thing you know, somebody will be calling you. Here's money coming in. Next thing you know, your body's changing. The symptoms are going away and fading. God is the God of miracles. All He needs is somebody that will trust Him and believe Him. And that's some, I'm looking for somebody like that. Is it? Huh? Turn with me again to Matthew chapter 16 in our study about faith for provision. We're going one after another through 30 reasons from Scripture why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. And we're down to number 27 in our study, and that is the building of His church, the building of the Lord's church. He's talking about it right here in Matthew 16:13, when He asked them, whom do men say I am? And they said, some say this and some say that. And how many know that's always the way it is? Some say this and some say that. But no need for you to do unending research. It comes to this, who do you say? Right? Not what they think or what they said. Who do you say? And that's what He said. Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter just spoke right out without hesitation. This didn't come out of his mind. We know from the following verse. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. If you believe that, go ahead and confess that yourself right now. Say, you are the Christ,
the Son
of the living God. Hallelujah. Now, if you can't say that with conviction, you're not in a good place. I don't know about your salvation. You might say, well, I believe Jesus was a good man and he's a good moral man and preached good things. That's not enough to save you. Then you don't believe He's the Christ. The Christ is the anointed one sent from heaven to save mankind.
Hallelujah.
Hmm? So yeah, he became man, but not just a man. And not just like any other man. I mean, he lived like other men, but with the exception of no sin. Never yielded to anything wrong. And did not have an earthly father. Was born by manifestation of the Holy Spirit inside his mother Mary's womb. And having lived a life and gone to the cross to sacrifice, was killed, was dead for days, but was raised from the dead. And his body is not in any tomb anywhere that you could ever go to on earth, because his body is seated at the right hand of majesty on high. He is King of kings, Lord of lords, soon to come again. Now, if you say, well, I just don't know about all that, then you're not saved. You're not a Christian. You have to believe these things in order to be born again. And you, like Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. If you say, well, I'm trying to be a good person, that won't save you. That will not save you. Well, what do I do? You have to admit you can't save yourself. You have to acknowledge, I am unable to save myself, and you have to receive the free gift. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The one who could do it did do it. Amen. And just offered it to us by grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it's by grace through faith. He does the grace part. We got to bring the faith part. Yes. We've got to respond in faith. If you've never done this, friend, this is the most important thing you'll ever do in your life, is receiving Jesus as your Lord and Master. You don't want to say, well, I want to party for a while, and maybe when I'm old, you know, right before I die. You've got no idea how long you're going to live. This earth's a dangerous place. Without the mercy of God, you won't last through today. There are scores of thousands of people that are dying all over the planet every 24 hours. They're not all old people. A lot of them are middle-aged. A lot of them are young. And I assure you, so many of them, when they breathe their last today and their spirits leaving their body, it's going to be racing through their mind, I thought I had more time. They thought they would have more years on the earth. Even if you're here a long time, the Bible said it's like a vapor. It's just a mist. You're here and then you're gone. You want to be ready to go. Yes. Now. Yes. Today. Now you want to use your faith, believe God to not leave early, to have a full life. But you want to be ready to go. Now. There's a lot of things you can get wrong and still be okay in heaven later. But this you got to get right. Everybody said out loud, because maybe there's some folks that haven't prayed. You need to pray with us right now, or you need to come back to God and recommit to Him. Said out loud, Father God,
Father God,
I do believe in You.
I do believe in You.
I repent for ignoring You and for doing things I know that's wrong.
And
I believe. I know I can't save myself. But You did send Jesus. And He died on the cross. And He paid for my mistakes. He did what I couldn't do. And You have raised Him from the dead. Free from my sins. And everyone else's. So they've been paid for. Justice is satisfied. And Jesus is. Risen. Alive. King of kings. Lord of lords. Jesus, I receive You as my Lord. I confess You as Lord and Master over me of my life. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for saving me. Oh, hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. If you prayed that sincerely, you are no longer lost. You are no longer in the family of darkness and the evil one. You have been delivered from the power of darkness. You have been translated into the kingdom of light of God's dear Son. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. And good news, just what you did with us right now, this simple prayer. It's not about praying a long or elaborate prayer. It's not about knowledge. It's not about the head. It's about the heart and a choice to believe and a choice to receive. You can pray the same prayer with your relatives, with your friends, your neighbors. You don't have to know a bunch of scriptures. You just, what happened for you, God will do for them. If they'll do just what you did, it is so very simple. So anybody that'll listen to you and pray with you, pray with them. Lead them. Tell them to receive. And once you do this, that's what we're getting into now. He said, who do they say I am? He said, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then he said, you're blessed, verse 17, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you. My Father which is in heaven. And I say to you, you are Peter, a stone, a rock. But upon this rock, the rock of the Christ, the cornerstone, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So the Lord is building his church. It's been going on from then through every successive generation till now, and will continue until, the trumpet sounds and the Lord gathers his people together and we go to the next thing. But the church is being built. Now, why would we say we're sure abundant provision is God's will for us all, always, because of this? Well, just like it takes provision to go preach the gospel all over the world, it takes provision on the natural side to provide for what's necessary in building his church. Now, once that people have been reached with the gospel, they're born again, they're saved, is that the end? No. Go with me to 1 Peter, if you would, and verse 23, 1 Peter 1:23. He said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. We saw in previous lessons from Romans 10, how he said, how will they call on the Lord if they hadn't believed? How will they believe if they hadn't heard? How will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach if they haven't been sent? Well, here we're seeing a similar thing. Born again, how were they born again? By the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Well, how did the Word of God do that to them? They had to hear it, right? They had to believe it and receive it and act on it. Well, they had to hear it first. It had to be preached to them. And those preaching had to be sent. He said, all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached to you. So that is how they were born again. And the incorruptible seed word that he was talking about, it's the gospel. And he says, what's this chapter 2 now, verse 1? Wherefore, laying aside malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. See, this wasn't written in chapter and verse. So what's he talking about? These people got born again.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How'd they get born again? The gospel, the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. What's next? Well, what's next is chapter 2. Is that right? As newborn babes do what? Now you are a child of God, but you're a baby.
Yes.
See, when you're born again, you're not born fully developed spiritually. You're not born again an adult, fully mature, fully developed spiritually. You're born again, you're born a baby. You're a spiritual baby. And here's the thing. growth and development is not automatic. Just because you were born again 20 years ago doesn't mean you are developed to the, you know, the relative 20-year-old spiritual place. No, you can have been born again 40 years ago and still be a baby.
Yes.
Spiritually.
Yes.
You might be in a 60-year-old body and you might be a baby inside spiritually. That's something that has confused people. And they haven't understood. And sometimes people, you know, they get kind of, testy about, you know, well, I've been in the way a long time. Yeah, more than you know, in the way. It's time to get out of the way and grow up and really know something about the Christian way. And that's why, you know, people tend to gravitate to if they go to church. A lot of folks don't. We'll talk about that later. But people tend to gravitate to a church that has a similar commitment level to their own. Because if a group has a much higher commitment level than they're willing to do, it's annoying to them. Because they're always thinking, they're doing more. And they're like, come on, let's do something. And they're like, no, I just want to go back to the crib. I want my Baba and my Binky, my Blankie. Is that right? That's what I want. Now you're laughing, but there are a bunch of Christians. They don't want to do anything. They want to come to church if and when they want to. And they don't want anything asked of them at all. Don't bring up money. Don't bring up tithing. Don't bring up volunteering. Don't bring up working on a team. Don't bring up outreach. Just be thrilled that I showed up. Mm-hmm. And don't make me cry. Right? See, what does this denote? Baby. What a baby. Babies, you don't expect much out of them, right? Yeah. If they want to lay around all day, that's what they do. Yeah. You know, and if they're uncomfortable, all they know to do is cry.
Yeah.
And make noise. And let somebody know, I'm not happy. I'm not happy. Do something. Fix it. Well, people do that spiritually. They think it's the pastor's job to anticipate if they might get unhappy by Tuesday and visit them and counsel them endless hours. And the thing is, pastors and a handful of staff, how many people can you do this for indefinitely? That's why the work would have to be very, very small if you are taking up hours of day with everybody just trying to prop them up, change their diaper, get them to quit crying, burp them, you know. Now you're laughing, but this is reality. That's not God's will.
Yes, sir.
And what you have is a lot, you got a lot of Christians that after 20 years, after 40 years, after 50, 60 years, they are still babies. They've never grown up. They've never developed. Is that God's will or plan for anybody? No, it's not right. What did he say? As newborn babes, do what?
Desire.
You should desire something. What should you desire? The sincere milk of the word, that you may grow, that you may grow. Somebody say grow.
Grow.
Grow thereby. Well, where are they going to get this milk of the word?
Church.
When? Mm-hmm. Where? How? Reckon you might need a building.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
And the building might need a parking lot.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And we might need some additional classrooms and places for the babies of the babies. The babies' babies. But then we want all the babies to not be babies years from now. Is that right? All the babies to grow up in a healthy development, getting stronger and better. God's will is that the babies grow up And then you have new babies coming along, and these former babies can help take care of the new babies. Is that right?
Yes.
And you get that multiplying, things can get big. And a lot of people can be helped and reached. But this is what's supposed to happen after the gospel is preached and received and people are born again. Look at it again. He said that you're born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. Chapter 2, verse 1, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Now that lets you know there are levels of the word. There's milk, and then he refers on another time to meat, or solid food, or strong meat. You don't feed T-bones to infants.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
The little ones, you know, they need the milk. But that should help them to grow to the point where they could get to something a little more solid.
Yes.
Mashed green peas or something.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then some toast. And then you keep moving up, right, until you get to teeth and you can chew. And this is painting a picture of spiritual nutrition. Just like the Lord said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. There is teaching that is geared towards babies. And it's vitally important. And there's an anointing and grace for it. And then there is different revelation that is stronger that a two-year-old, for instance, wouldn't grasp certain concepts. But a 20-year-old can,
yeah.
Right? And a 40-year-old can, should be able to understand more and more and more. This is God's will and plan for His church.
Amen.
He said, I'm building my church.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can say it like this. I'm growing up my babies, and I'm building my family, and I'm developing my church. And it's a strong church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And our time is up again. Say, I live by faith, I walk by faith, I overcome the world by faith, I'm strong in faith, giving glory to God. We'll see you next time here at Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.